The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depth where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of the return from death.
You mean that you can bring him back to life?
I know I can. There, everything's ready. Will you step back, David?
Of course.
How to turn on the machine. You'll see for yourself what I mean. Now to induce the charge.
How much voltage are you using?
25,000. That's enough. Now look at him, David.
Wait. He's alive. He was dead, but now... Now he's alive.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present The Return from Death. And now for our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Return from Death.
Dr. Jason Sinclair was a brilliant man. He was one of my instructors at medical school. He gave of his knowledge freely, creating in the students a desire to learn, imparting some of his own enthusiasm for his subject into the minds of his students. I always looked forward to his classes. After I received my degree, I lost track of him for several years. But one evening, when I was ready to leave the research center... Hello?
May I speak to David Cummings?
Speaking.
David, this is Jason Sinclair.
Dr. Sinclair, it's good to hear from you.
I was wondering if you'd remember me.
Of course I would. All of us who studied under you owe you more than we can ever repay.
What are you doing this evening?
Well, actually nothing.
I'd like to see you, David. Why don't you come over to the house tonight?
It'll be a pleasure. You still live at the same place?
Yes, the world may change, David, but Jason Sinclair and his habits don't. I'll be expecting you about 8:30. Good to see you, David. Come in, come in.
Good to see you, Dr. Sinclair.
You can forget the doctor part of it, David. Call me Jason. You're not in school now.
How long has it been? I've lost all track of time.
You received your degree in 1943. It's been 10 years.
I didn't realize it was so long. You haven't changed, you know, Jason.
Only 10 years older, that's all. Oh, do you remember my daughter, David? I believe she was
That's right. She was in my class. How are you, Elaine?
Fine, David. It's good to see you again.
Are you working with your father?
Yes.
Sit down, David. Sit down. Can I pour you a drink?
Not right now, thanks. Are you still with the college, Jason?
No, I left there some time ago.
Oh, really? How come?
I wanted to devote more time to research.
I see.
David, are you happy with your present position?
Well, I hadn't stopped to think about it. I guess I am.
That's a shame.
Why do you say that?
I was wondering if you'd like to work with me.
I don't know. I hope you'll forgive me for hesitating, Jason, but I've been with Associated Chemical for several years.
I understand, David. It's only natural that you'd hesitate.
Why, of course. Dad doesn't want to push you into this, David. You're perfectly free not to accept.
Of course, I would like to have you with me. I can guarantee you more than you're getting now.
Well, that's a pretty good inducement.
I'd like to work with you, David. I'm sure you'll find it interesting.
What are you working on, Jason?
Come, I'll take you downstairs, and you can see for yourself. You remember some of our discussions years ago about death and the possibility of bringing back to life a man that medical science had pronounced dead?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's what I've been working on.
Oh? Have you had any success?
Quite a lot. More than I'd expected this early. I'll show you. The rabbit you see on the table is dead. I'd like to have you examine it, if you will.
Yes, he's dead, I'd say, for at least 2 hours.
Very close, David. A few minutes longer, that's all.
What do you intend doing?
You'll see. I've already given him the preliminary injection, David, to save time. You know, of course, that all life has a connection with electricity. We think we send out small charges of electricity along the nerve network, which in turn activates our muscles.
You mean that you can bring him back to life?
I know I can. There, everything's ready. Will you step back, David?
Of course.
Now to turn on the machine. You'll see for yourself what I mean. Now to induce the charge.
How much voltage are you using?
25,000. That's enough. Now look at him, David.
What? He's alive. This animal's alive.
Yes, David.
But there's something strange about him.
How do you mean?
I don't know. I can't explain it.
You're imagining it, David. You saw him dead, now you see him alive. The sight is foreign to your mind.
Perhaps.
I've learned the secret, David. Now we can restore to the living those who have passed into the realm of death.
Although Jason Sinclair passed over my objection, I still couldn't get the thought from my mind. There was something strange about the animal. Something seemed to be missing. We went back upstairs. Jason left the room to get the papers he'd written, explaining the various steps he'd taken in his experiments. I was left alone with Elaine.
Did you see it?
Yes. It's amazing.
Are you going to work with him?
I think so.
David, I wish you wouldn't.
Why not?
Did you notice the rabbit after he returned it back to life?
Yes.
David, didn't it look foreign to you, as if something were missing?
I noticed something, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
That's what I mean. David, I don't think you should do it.
I don't see why, Elaine. Think what a boon this would be to the world.
Will it, David?
Of course.
I'm not too sure about that.
Elaine, you of all people should have faith in your father.
I don't, though, David.
Why not?
Because I don't believe that once an animal is dead, it should be returned to life. It should remain dead. Because when it dies, its spirit dies with it. And when Dad brings these creatures back, the animal lives, true enough. But, David, it's like an automaton. The body may live, but the thing which gave it personality is dead.
I'm still going to work with him, Elaine.
Do you know what you're getting into? Dad is a precisionist. He'll experiment and experiment until finally he'll want to try it on a man. And where is that man going to come from, David? Where is he going to come from?
Back now to our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Return from Death.
I was in the house of Jason Sinclair. A few minutes before, I'd been witness to a scene which had amazed me. As I saw it, I made up my mind to work with Jason. We went back upstairs, and when Jason left the room, his daughter tried to dissuade me from my decision.
I'm serious, David. Where is he going to come from?
I don't know.
Then you're going to go through with it?
Yes.
I warned you, David. Remember that.
Here are the papers, David.
Oh, thank you.
Look them over. They contain all the notes I've made on the experiment.
I will, Jason.
Are you going to work with me?
Yes.
Good. You'll have to give the organization for which you're working now at least 2 weeks' notice.
Of course.
If you like, you can live here with us. Do you have any relatives, David?
No.
Glad to hear that. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Two weeks later, I moved in with Jason Sinclair and we began working. We conducted experiments, making a few changes, altering the content of the preparatory injection, resetting the amount of voltage required, progressing from the lower stages of animal life ever higher. And then one night, He told me what he intended doing next.
David, have you heard of Terry Whalen?
Whalen? He... Oh, yes. He's going to die next week for the murder of that old man.
That's right. We're going down to the prison tomorrow to see him.
Why, Dad?
Whalen has no relatives. No one to bury him after his death except for the state.
What do you mean?
I believe we can have access to his body after he's executed.
You mean you intend using him as a subject?
That's correct.
But if we're successful, Jason, won't it be dangerous to return a killer back to life?
Not if we watch him. Not if we can destroy his urge to kill.
Dad, I don't think you should do it. He's a dangerous man.
Nonsense, Elaine. We'll increase the amount of voltage, David. Enough to destroy that part of his brain which motivates his desire to kill. Perhaps he'll completely change.
Use someone else, Dad, not Terry Whalen.
Where would I get someone else, Elaine?
We rose early the following day and drove out to the prison. Jason was well known and thought highly of in official circles. We were allowed to talk to the warden, and Jason convinced him that Whalen's body would be used for medical research, but he neglected to tell him how it would be used. Then we were allowed to talk to Whalen.
Just a few minutes, Dr. Sinclair.
I understand.
Who are you?
My name is Jason Sinclair, Mr. Whalen.
What do you want?
To talk to you.
So talk?
You're to be executed next week, Mr. Whalen.
Look, if you come here just to tell me that, I got a surprise for you. I already know it.
I'm a doctor, Terry. We'd like to use you as the subject of an experiment.
Sure, go right ahead.
Not now, Terry. After you've been executed.
Ah, what do you mean? Where are you from? You from one of those medical colleges? Listen, I don't go for that stuff. No, sir, if that's what you're here for...
No, Terry. I have proposed to bring you back to life.
You mean after I'm dead?
That's right.
You're crazy. You sound like you've been in stir too long.
I'm serious. We can do it.
You mean you can actually bring me back to life?
That's right.
That's pretty good. They can't punish me a second time, can they? They can't kill me twice.
You agree to it, then?
Sure, Sawbones. Sure, I agree to it. Anything to get another chance.
Jason made arrangements for an ambulance to pick up Whalen's body a short time after the execution. That night, the night Whalen settled his death with the state, a storm broke. We stayed at the house and waited. The ambulance was already at the prison, waiting for its passenger.
What time is it?
Almost 12.
I wish you hadn't arranged all this, Dad.
Nonsense, Elaine.
Well, that is 12 o'clock.
The time is to die.
It's only taken 3 hours, even in the storm, to get back here, Jason.
That's right. When they do, David, they'll have Whalen with them.
We waited there at the house. The storm was the perfect background for the strange mood which had seized hold of each of us. A short time after 3, the ambulance pulled into the driveway and we went down and opened the basement door. They brought him in and sat him on a table.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. You ready, David?
I guess so.
I'll prepare the hypodermic then. We'll give him 20 cc's of this.
No more than that?
Of course not. Well, that does it. Now, help me attach the wires.
Dealing with the death has always frightened me.
It's foolish, my boy. As a scientist, you should never allow yourself to be subjective about things. You must be completely objective. Now, I believe that'll do it.
Dr. Sinclair.
Anything wrong, David?
Maybe we ought not go through with this.
You can't turn back now?
No, I suppose not.
Shall we begin? Switch it on. It has a pleasant sound, hasn't it, David? What's the reading?
10,000.
Increase the charge. The reading?
15,000.
20,000.
23,000. Must be 4,000. Must be 5,000. Shall we stop?
No. We must destroy his desire to kill.
6,000. 27,000.
That's enough. Turn it off.
Place the contact microphone on his chest, David.
Yes, Jason.
Listen, David. You're listening to the sound of his heart, David. The beating heart of a dead man. We've succeeded. We've brought him back from death.
Back now to our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Return from Death.
It was a wet and stormy night. Jason Sinclair hovered over the body on the table in the center of his basement laboratory. I stood just behind him, watching a dead man return to life.
Listen, David. You're listening to the sound of his heart. They've brought him back from death. Remove the contact, Mike.
Jason, look at his eyes. They're open.
Yes, I see. Whalen? Can you hear me? Answer me, Whalen. Think what this means, David. He can tell us what it was like to be dead, the first man ever to know the secret. Whalen, answer me.
The straps taken off.
All right, let's loosen them. How do you feel, Whalen?
Look out, Jason. He's getting off the table.
Nothing to be afraid of, David.
He didn't limp before, did he?
No. Some of the motor section of the brain must have been damaged.
He's coming toward us.
Don't move. You might frighten him.
Look at his eyes, Jason. They're not human.
Go ahead, David. He's trying to say something. I can't understand you, Whalen. What are you trying to say?
He's patting you on the back.
You're trying to thank me, no doubt. All right, that's enough, Whalen. I understand you. Please take his hand away from my throat, David.
That's enough, Whalen.
Ah! Look out, David.
I see him.
You knocked him out.
Yes.
You shouldn't have done that.
Are you serious, Jason? I was protecting myself and you, for that matter.
He wouldn't have hurt me.
You didn't seem to think that when he had his fingers around your throat.
Well, I admit that I was frightened.
All right. What are we going to do with him?
I'll keep him down here. Teach him to talk again. Seems to have lost the power of coherent speech.
Look at him, Jason.
Why? Is there anything wrong?
I don't know. But looking at his face now, I have the strangest feeling that he's not really a human being anymore. That something's missing. That he's a mad, vicious creation of the devil.
You're talking like a fool, David. Perhaps you're tired. I know I am. He can't get out of here. We'll lock the doors and the windows are barred. Let's go upstairs.
All right, Jason. But remember what I said. Placed him back on the table, taking the precaution of strapping him down in case he should awaken. Then Jason locked the doors and took the keys with him. We went upstairs.
I've been waiting for you.
Then I thought you were asleep.
No, I couldn't sleep.
You should have come downstairs and joined us then, Elaine.
You brought him back?
Yes.
How did he react?
Not as well as he might have, Elaine.
Anything wrong?
No, nothing.
He tried to kill your father.
He was merely trying to thank me, David. He's probably suffering from a sort of amnesia. He doesn't realize his own strength. He's like a baby.
You know that's not true, sir. He's an inhuman, vicious killer.
Oh, you should never have done this, Dad.
Will you both be quiet? I'm tired of listening to you.
What?
I don't like to admit it. But I know I've been wrong. I'm sorry, my dear. I lost my temper. I shouldn't have. I know it's because I think you're both partially right.
How do you mean, Jason?
There is something inhuman about that thing that was a man. downstairs. I noticed it tonight when his hands were around my throat. In his eyes, that intangible something that makes an animal a man is missing. In its place, I see the eyes of a madman with no soul.
Oh, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
Maybe we haven't failed, sir. Maybe because we're tired, we think we have. It may look completely different to us after a few hours of sleep.
What was that?
Came from downstairs.
Whelan.
We had him strapped to the table.
He must have gotten loose.
That was the door. He's trying to knock the door down.
We have to stop him.
But how?
Whelan, get my gun.
All right, Dad. I'll be right back.
I tried not to admit it, David, but that was only lying to myself. You and Elaine brought me to my senses. You were right, right all along, about the rabbit, about the other animals, and especially about Whelan. He must be destroyed. He's a monster without feeling.
Here, Dad, here's the gun.
Thanks. I'm going down there and...
You won't have to go down there. That was the door.
Listen. Listen, he's coming up the stairs.
Turn the lights out, David.
Yes, sir.
I'm going out in the hall to meet him.
No, Dad.
No, let him come in here. We'll stay right over here on the side of the room.
All right, David.
Be quiet.
He's coming.
I don't want to shoot him. We'll have to take him alive.
You'll have to shoot him.
Oh, yes, Dad.
He's just outside the door.
David, I'm afraid.
Be quiet.
There he is.
Where are you?
He's searching for me.
Be quiet.
He's looking this way. Use the gun, Jason.
Hold
the trigger.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Face now, David.
Yes. I see it.
It's composed. It looks human again. Perhaps we're not meant to tamper with the natural laws of life and death, David. I see that now. But it took Wayland's return from death to prove it to me.
Tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the Hall of Fantasy. Welcome to the series of radio dramas dedicated to the supernatural, the unusual, and the unknown. Come with me, my friends. We shall descend to the world of the unknown and forbidden, down to the depths where the veil of time is lifted and the supernatural reigns as king. Come with me and listen to the tale of The Night the Fog Came.
Ah, help me! Help me! Ah!
It came from our right. We'd better take a look. Come on. We're getting close to the lake. Only this fog.
Wait a minute.
There. Right there. Let's take a look.
I hope he's all right.
Roll him over.
All right.
He's dead.
I know.
Do you realize how he died?
What do you mean?
Look at him closer, Hal. His clothes aren't wet. Even his hair isn't wet. But look at the water trickling from his mouth. This man died less than a minute ago on dry land, 200 yards from the lake. And he died by drowning.
In just a moment, the Hall of Fantasy will present The Night the Fog Came. And now for our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Night the Fog Came.
If the theory of evolution is correct, then there is a connection between the minute organisms which are found to be living in water and life as we know it today. But what connection with us did those things have which came from out of the fog? What connection with human life did those horrible creatures who came from the depths have? And what is their purpose? Why did they suddenly appear and destroy, then vanish as suddenly as they had come? I shall tell you as much as I know about it. Listen to the tale of The Night the Fog Came. The first inkling of their existence came to us as we were going through some routine research. I dropped over to the lab to see Hal. Harold Enroth was perhaps one of the foremost men in his field. Our friendship stretched back for many years. I'd been away for a while, and so I dropped in at the lab to see him one morning.
Jeff, you old dog, you're a sight for sore eyes.
How are things going, Al?
Fine, couldn't be better. How'd you like your vacation?
I can't wait till next year. I hated to come back.
You know, Jeff, I'm glad you dropped in. I have a little problem.
Oh? What is it, money?
No, not that. Here, I'll show you. Pull those blinds, will you?
Sure.
Yeah, that's fine.
There you are.
I have a specimen here on the slide. I want you to take a look at it.
Go ahead, turn the projector on.
All right. There. What do you think of that?
I don't know. It looks like some form of water life. But I don't think I've ever seen it before.
This has been enlarged 100 times. There's no use trying to recognize what it is. It's a form of water life completely unknown to us.
A new form of life. Where did you get this?
It's a specimen of water one of our field researchers took from the westernmost tip of Lake Superior, somewhere near the Wisconsin-Minnesota border.
Have you contacted anyone else about it?
No.
Why not?
Well, it's...
Come on. Don't try to avoid telling me, Hal. We know each other too well for
all right,
that.
All right. Listen to me, Jeff.
All right.
Everything I say is fact. I've conducted countless tests to discover what I do know about this form of life. That thing is able to reproduce itself.
A hydra type?
Possibly. But that's beside the point right now. What's more important, all trace of the other organisms in that drop of water has disappeared.
Are you serious?
Of course I am. And another thing... There was a little mist. hovering above what was left of the water.
A mist?
That's what I call it. Something like fog.
Why, that's impossible.
No, it's not. I know that when the water evaporated, it should have been dispersed into the air. Eventually it was, but not for several hours.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hal. I still can't...
Here, I'll show you. We have a little of the water left. It's over here in this jar. You can see for yourself.
Well, it looks just like ordinary water.
I know it does. But believe me when I say it isn't. Now, it'll take just about 3 minutes. You see what's happening?
I can't believe my eyes.
See that little cloud of misty vapor beginning to form like fog?
Yes. What causes it?
I wish I knew. Our field men say the conditions up there are getting to be unbearable. The whole area for 100 square miles is almost covered completely by this fog.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going up there myself. And Jeff, if I send for you, will you join me?
Of course.
I may need you. I may need everyone I can get. It's begun to prey on my mind, Jeff. Somehow I think there's something in back of this. Something the likes of which the world has never seen. Something evil.
Hal went up there the afternoon of the morning I had seen him. At first he wrote that the reports had been exaggerated. Then he discovered that all traces of the new form of life had disappeared. He decided to return. I was quite glad to get that letter from Hal. Before he had gone up there, he had been quite worried. The only thing I couldn't understand was what had become of the new water life form. The day before he was to return to the city... Hello?
Jeff, this is Hal.
Where are you? I thought you...
I had them put me through direct to you. Jeff, I need your assistance.
What's the matter?
I've already called Arnold Simpson and Jack Racco. They've agreed to come. I need you too, Jeff, just as soon as you can possibly make it.
Don't worry, Hal. I'll be there.
Remember, as soon as you can possibly make it.
I knew Arnold Simpson, and he and I went up together. The train left Chicago and headed north, and then slightly west over Illinois and Wisconsin. Simpson and I talked it over on our way up there. Hal talked to you before he left, didn't he, Arnold?
Yes, he did. I never had enough time to get up to his lab so he could show me what it was, but his words were description enough. Frankly, I'm worried.
In what way?
Jeff, why should a new form of water life suddenly appear? Why should it destroy everything with which it comes into contact? And why should the mist or the fog appear to be so dense and heavy?
I don't know.
That's just the trouble. We don't know. Where has this form of life been, or did it just develop? What's its reason for being here?
Perhaps we'll find the answers to those questions when we get there, Arnold.
Perhaps. But I'm convinced of this much, Jeff. Whatever it is, whatever that fog is hiding, poses a new problem for us. A problem which may be unsolvable. And which could very well destroy the human race.
Back now to our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Night the Fog Came.
Simpson seemed disinclined to talk, so we spent the remainder of the trip in silence, both of us lost in our thoughts. We arrived at the town and then hired a car to take us to the little village where we would find Hal Enrum. The closer we came to our final destination, the darker the sky became, and the air was heavy with a mist which was both damp and clammy. It was an old rickety car, and the roads were little better than the ground on either side of it. The car stopped a few hundred feet from our destination.
You gotta walk the rest of the way.
You said you'd drive us all the way.
Look, mister, I come farther than I was going to in the first place. I ain't no mood to go into the woods up there. If you're gonna go, then you walk in.
Jeff, can't you do something?
I don't think so.
Here's your pay.
Thanks.
Let's go, Arnold. It could be worse, Arnold.
I suppose so. He seemed genuinely afraid.
Aren't you?
A little.
Hey, we must be pretty close to the lake.
I've never seen the fog this thick. It's unnatural.
Eventually, we made it up to the house. Hal was there waiting for us and showed us where we would sleep. Through the window, I could see that the fog seemed to be getting thicker.
That's an eerie, lonely sound.
You get used to it after you've been here for a while.
Hal, you wrote me that this fog, the new form of life, had disappeared.
It had. But 2 days ago, it suddenly reappeared. And with it, the fog returned.
Then there must be a connection between the two.
Yes, but what?
I haven't any idea. Look, I have to go down to the village for some food. We don't have enough here to feed four of us. Will you come with me, Jeff?
Certainly.
I'll be right back, Arnold. It's only about a mile away near the lake.
Go ahead. That trip made me tired. I think I'll take a nap.
The house in which we were staying was on a high level of ground which tapered off on the side facing the lake. It was only 3 p.m, but it looked almost as dark as late evening. And there was something about that cloudy mist. It was cold and clammy and smelled strongly of the lake.
I don't see how you were able to stand it up here by yourself.
Well, I had a lot of things to interest me.
I was all ready to meet you at the station, but then when I got your call, I didn't know what to think.
I wish I could understand this, Jeff. The fog disappeared when the water life disappeared. When signs of this strange new form of life showed again, the fog came back. Why?
Maybe we can find the answer to that.
I hope so. Actually, the sound of that foghorn does get on your nerves.
Yes, I can imagine it would.
You know, if this were a clear day, you could see the village from here.
Oh?
Actually, it's just a tiny resort town for fishermen and hunters. And it's located right on the westernmost tip of the lake. Imagine it must...
Help me!
It came from our right.
We'd better take a look. Come on.
We're getting close to the lake. If only this fog would...
Wait a minute. There, right there. Let's take a look. I hope he's all right.
All right. Roll him over.
Okay.
He's dead.
I know. But do you realize how he died?
What do you mean?
Look at him closer, Hal. His clothes aren't wet. Even his hair isn't wet. But look at the water trickling from his mouth. This man died less than a minute ago on dry land, 200 yards from the lake. And he died by drowning.
That's not possible.
Are you sure he drowned?
There must be a doctor down at the village. Let's take him down there and see what the doctor says. Only I'm sure he'll agree with me.
Together we carried the man down to the village. Luckily for us, he was of slight build, not too heavy.
It took us almost half an hour to get him down there. When we finally did arrive, it took another few minutes to locate the doctor.
What do you think, Doctor?
Get them out.
All right. Will you please wait outside? The doctor can't work with you in here.
He's just like all the others, ain't he, Doc?
Please wait outside.
Thank you.
What did he mean by he's just like all the others, Doctor?
Just what he said. Ever since this fog has settled down again, 5 people have died.
All in the same way?
Yes.
You mean by drowning?
That's right.
I can't understand how this man we found could die by drowning when he wasn't in the water. You know, we reached him about a minute after he screamed. How could he drown?
Professor Enroth, I've been asking myself that same question about all the others. I've been almost half insane these past 2 days trying to find the solution.
And Dr. Craig, this fog, has it always been like this in the area?
No. Not until about 2 months ago.
Which coincides with the time we first discovered that new form of water life.
What did you say?
Nothing, Doctor. We're doing a little research work up here, that's all.
If this keeps up, I'm afraid of what might happen. I've never seen anything like it before. The fog, those deaths, how can they be explained?
We don't know, Doctor. We just don't know.
We got back to the house. Our arrival must have awakened him, for as we entered, he came slowly down the stairs from the second floor.
Need any help?
No, we can manage, but come out to the kitchen with us.
What's the matter with you two?
We found a dead man on our way to the village.
Are you serious? Just set those bags on the table.
All right. Oh, I'm not joking, Arnold. We heard a scream. It took us about a minute to get to him. He was dead when we got there.
A knife? Drowned.
What? On dry land, 200 yards from the lake.
You must be insane. No, it's the truth, Arnold. And there have been 4 other deaths just like it.
When did they happen?
In the last 2 days.
Since the fog reappeared.
That's right.
Then there is a definite connection between this fog and the new life form you've discovered, Hal.
That's right.
But what's the connection?
We'd gotten back to the house about 6 o'clock. It was about 7 that it happened. Simpson said he was going outside for a minute. He opened the door.
I just want to get outside for a bit.
Good heavens.
What's wrong?
Take a look. The fog, it's so thick.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Shut the door. Some of it's getting inside.
It's moving along the floor.
Shut the door!
Did you see it?
Yes.
The fog. Just like I was alive. Moving like a living thing. Creeping along the floor.
Back now to our story. An original tale of fantasy by Richard Thorne entitled The Night the Fog Came.
When Simpson had opened the door, the fog crept into the house in little wisps that curled and snaked this way and that. It looked like a thing alive.
You saw it, didn't you, Hal?
Yes, I saw it.
What does it mean?
I'm afraid of what it means.
You mean you know?
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm afraid I'm not. It's just possible that this form of life has developed from something that was present in the water all the time. The great brute animals ruled the world before man appeared and then were destroyed. Eventually, mankind wrested the supremacy of the earth from the other animal and plant life. Perhaps the cycle is to continue. Perhaps, after man, this new form of life.
As the minutes passed by, we noticed that little slips of the fog began inching their way through every opening of the house. It was Simpson who pointed down at the bottom of the door and first brought it to our attention. We began to plug up all the openings in the house. At first, we did it slowly, but as time passed, we worked faster and more feverishly. No matter how tired we became, we had to finish the job or the fog might claim the house, too. It was too quiet. The only thing we heard was the distant, monotonous call of the foghorn. And then Hal broke the silence.
Do you know why this fog is so thick?
I wish I did.
This might be insane, but it has to be the answer. That fog is carrying moisture, a lot of it, perhaps enough to also carry this new form of life. To move it from place to place, to spread it even farther. To kill everything which stands in its way.
That might be it.
It is. I'm sure it is.
Well, in that case, what happened to break it up the first time?
And that's the solution to the problem. I don't know what it is, but it did break it up the first time. It drove it back, down to the depths from where it came. That's why there was no sign of it in the water.
That came from right outside the house.
Racco. He said he was going to arrive this evening.
We'd better take a look. Bring the flashlight. Right. Let's go.
That light doesn't carry more than a few feet.
It's so wet out here.
Over there, look.
Little pinpoints of light dancing up and down, all clustered together.
That must be it. Come on. It's spreading out.
Right, look. There, on the ground. It's Racco.
The same way. The same way as the other one.
Specks of dancing luminescence had withdrawn from Rackow's body, but now we noticed that there seemed to be more of them. We carried the body back to the house. We'd forgotten to close the door behind us, and some of the fog had gotten inside. It wasn't too bad, however, and little by little it began to disperse.
Look out that window.
Yes, I see them, gathering together with a whole mass, getting larger and larger all the time, separating like the Hydra. It must be destroyed.
Yes, but how?
They created the fog. That must be the only way they can travel on land. They must have a basic water carrier.
Have you realized what this means? What are you getting at?
The area this fog now covers is 100 square miles. Every animal in this area may lose its life. And then what happens? They divide again and again and again. And the area of the fog keeps getting larger all the time. If it isn't stopped now, while we still have a chance, it may never be stopped.
And I ask you the same question, Simpson. How?
I don't know.
Someone's outside.
Let him in quickly. They're moving towards the house.
Oh, thank goodness. I didn't think I'd make it.
It's a miracle that you did.
Sit down, Doctor.
Thank you. I was out on a call on my way back to town. I noticed how thick the fog was. And then I noticed the animals lying dead in the forest. The smell of their death was in the air. I continued on towards the town. And then I saw the bodies lying just where they had fallen.
whole town seemed to be covered by a strange luminescent mass which in some manner moved. I was afraid. Then I thought of you people in this house, and I got here as soon as I could.
I don't know how long we'll be able to withstand them, Doctor. I'm sure the townspeople are dead now. In fact, almost every living creature in the area must be dead.
But what is it? What caused it?
If we get out of this alive, Doctor, we'll tell you.
Look outside. It must have split again. It's twice the size it was.
What are we going to do?
Look under the doorway. They're getting through.
Plug it up. Use some newspaper. Close anything. We've got to stop it.
Constant opening and closing of the door. Loosen the other things we had down there.
I think that will do it.
Look, the things that did get in. First you see their light and then they're gone. What happens to them?
Perhaps we can't see them.
Or perhaps they die.
Al, wait a minute. Your first letters to me mentioned the fact that the mist had been dispersed. What caused it?
I don't know.
Doctor, you're a native of these parts.
Yes.
I want you to tell me about anything unusual which happened that day.
Well, I don't remember anything about that day particularly. I remember I was quite pleased to see that the fog had lifted. It was a beautiful day. Unseasonably warm. In fact, the sun was quite hot.
Heat. I wonder if...
If what, Jeff?
These things, these hydra-type creatures must die in the heat. This house is quite warm. The day the fog was dispersed was warm with a bright sun. Perhaps that's the answer. Doctor, is there any firebreak around this area?
Well, there was one cut through the trees several years ago.
Yes.
A case of a fire, a bad one, in the heavy timberlands. Everyone was instructed to get into this area.
In other words, there's a complete firebreak around this entire area.
Yes. It comprises about 150 square miles.
And that's it. It's the only chance we have. We'll burn out this area and hope it drives them back.
Put some oil downstairs.
Get it. We'll start the fire here and hope it sets fire to the trees surrounding this house.
Be right back.
We'll have to make a run for it once this place is on fire. We may not come out of this alive, but we can try.
That's the last.
Good. Now, everybody knows what...
You'd better light it.
Those things outside, they're going to get in.
Each man will carry a torch.
Yes. And I'd light your torches.
All right.
And then set fire to this house.
All right. Lighting mine.
All right. And yours now.
All right.
One more.
Right.
Yeah.
Under the door. They're pouring in under the door.
Set the house on fire.
Let's get out of here.
No matter what happens, keep holding those torches. They're afraid of fire.
All right, make a run for it.
The fire caught hold and the entire area was burned out. A week later, the smoke had cleared and the fire was out. There was no sign of the fog which had meant death to so many things. I had caught a glimpse of the doctor. He had dropped his torch and it had gone out. He was immediately engulfed in those luminescent killers. I'm going back up there with Enroth and Simpson. Though there is now no trace of those things in the water, still we know they lurk somewhere waiting for their moment. We must destroy them once and for all before that moment arrives.
Tonight's tale of the unusual, the terrifying, the unknown. Join us again when next we journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy to hear another strange tale of the supernatural. All characters and events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
This has been a Cryptic County podcast. To check out our other storytelling podcasts like Let's Not Meet and Odd Trails, go to crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you next time.
You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story? That's what ought to happen next.
It did.
The
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.